please join me in the book of Ephesians chapter 6. Please. We're going to finish up this book of Ephesians one of these days. We just keep working our way through it. The title that I've given to the things that we're going to be looking at today is Leadership by Influence. We live in a world that tries to lead with power. And we would like to do that as a church. And frankly, I think the world would be a lot better off if it only elected born-again people to office and then made them behave themselves and rule by the Bible. The world would be better. It's not how God has ordained to rule the world today, that is, by the hand of man. He's ordained to do it differently. His apostles took him to task for that, you know, and they wanted the kingdom right now. And the Lord says, no, it's not going to be a kingdom. Matter of fact, you guys aren't going to be kings. You're going to be servants. You're not going to reign. You're going to suffer. And for the next, he didn't give them these terms, these years. We know now for at least 2,000 years, the world has been led by influence and not by a strong arm. And that's our responsibility as the people of God, to lead our world, our communities, our culture, by our influence, and not by our unique abilities and reason and wisdom and all that kind of stuff. It is to be more by our example. And that's the Bible is just very clear of that when you study it, that that's what it's all about. As we go through the book of Ephesians, it's like all of Paul's epistles or his general epistles that he wrote, not the pastoral epistles, but he begins with the theology of our conversion and our relationship with Jesus Christ. And then he goes to our conduct and talks about how our conduct needs to be altered because of our relationship with God. And then here in the latter part of the fifth chapter and in the sixth chapter, he goes into some very specific things for us to give our attention to. And frankly, folks, they're not the things that we generally give our attention to as servants of God. As servants of God, we generally give our attention to things like, well, I serve the church. You know, I'm a deacon. I'm a trustee. I change light bulbs. I vacuum the floor. You know, I mow the grass, whatever. You know, I teach Sunday school class. I do all of these things. I keep the books. This is how I serve the Lord. And I'm sure grateful for everybody who does those things. I want to start right out saying I'm grateful for everybody who does those things. And that's the way we serve our family together. It gives us the opportunity to have a place to meet like this. Why? Can you imagine that here? We use this building, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours a week, something like that, you know. What a nice place we have to meet, you know. There's just a lot of maintenance and other things that have to be done so we can do that, you know, and all of that. And I'm grateful for what the Lord has given us here. But that's not how really we fulfill our job as God's people in our culture. That's how we fellowship together. That's how we enjoy one another. That's how we're trained. But we do our work out there. We don't do our real work in here. And in this latter part of the fifth chapter and early part of the sixth chapter, it's interesting what the Holy Spirit does through the Apostle Paul. He puts his attention on wives. Do this wife job well. That's how you can be an influence, by being a good wife. This is husbands. Do your husband job well, because that's how you can be a good influence, by doing your husband job well. And then he says, parents. This is how to do your parent job. It's how to rear your kids. Because if you do the parent job well, you'll be doing something very influential in your community. And then he says, children, do your children job well. Sierra, I caught you looking at me. I think you're doing the children job very well, Sierra. God bless you for that. Tori's agreeing with me. Tori's saying, it is hard to put up with her at home because mom's always saying, why can't you be like your sister Sierra? Does she ever say that to you? No, maybe not once in a while. But children, do your children job well. And then he goes to employees and says, employees, do your employee job well. I may be just spending too much time on this, but guys and gals, it's important to do your job well. And whether I just catch Eldon out of the corner of my, he was a milk deliverer. Can you imagine delivering milk for the Lord? Well, the Lord can imagine you delivering milk for him. And he talks about it. He says, whatsoever you do, do it diligently as unto the Lord. For the Lord shall you receive your reward. Boy, you know, Eldon, just because you got paychecks all through those years from, what is it, Metal Gold Dairy, you know? You ain't seen nothing yet. The Lord's got a paycheck for you for doing that. And Bruce, the same for you at the telephone company, you know? And Paul, you're keeping books, but the Lord's, you know, he's the first one here. Now, we're moving in this text to verse 9, and it's talking about employers. Now, we don't really have many employers in this congregation. You know, as I think through this, Dan, you get closer to it than anybody, I think, in our congregation. You have a lot of people under your purview that you take care of. The Lord is concerned that you do that job well. Verse 9, and ye masters, do the same things unto them. Interesting, the same things. He's going back, and that's a reference to verse 5 through 8. He says, employees, here's how I want you to serve as unto me. And he's saying, employers, I want you to do the same thing. Now, we have to do just a little review in order to catch up on that. So if you look at verse 5, it says, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart as unto Christ. God says to employers that their first responsibility is to Him, with singleness of heart, pleasing the Lord. Now, I guarantee you, if you're an employer, you aren't always going to please your people when you please the Lord. Pastor Weber was talking about compromise this morning that we have in government. That's legitimate and right. In our jobs, we need to please the Lord. Verse 6 says, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ. This brings things down to the situation where as a believer in Jesus Christ, as a saved man, it is not a role or a function that I have on Sundays. It's a function that I have every moment of my life, whether as a wife or a husband or as a parent or as a child or as a worker or as a boss, I am representing the Lord Jesus Christ. And I need to do things not as a man pleaser, but as one that pleases God. I don't know if you know, Charlotte cleans the law offices over here where she works. And that's just like an outside thing that she contracts and does with them. And when she was ill, I helped her a lot on that. She's better now and I don't help her much. But I was back there this week so that she could spend more time with the grandchildren. We can cut 4 hours to 2 hours when I help. And my job is always vacuuming. And I never do that without thinking, you know, they'd never notice if I missed that corner. They never, and I'm vacuuming down the hallway. You know, you go back and forth like this and vacuuming down the hallway. And I'll miss a spot and I'll think, I better go get that. Because the Lord saw that spot I missed. And He's watching. Now, some people would take, I remember parents back years ago in the church, thinking that they don't want to lay that kind of burden on their kids that the Lord is watching them. Boy, I want that burden on me. I want something that'll tell me, David, do your best. Don't take any shortcuts. So it comes down to simple things like vacuuming a floor. That we do it not as men pleasers, not with eye service, but pleasing the Lord. Verse 7, with good will, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. I didn't know if I was going to use this illustration or not. I run out of time because I talk about these things, but Henry Ford was an interesting guy. And I've read a couple biographies about him. And he had two objectives. One was he wanted to build an automobile that the common man could afford. And he wanted to pay his employees well enough that they could afford to buy the cars they were building. Isn't that interesting? I mean, that's something to approve of, you know. Henry Ford was not making cars. That was incidental. He was employing men and making their homes and lives better. Wow, do you think that's kind of what God has in mind here? As we do these kind of things? He goes on to say, Verse 8, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether it be bond or free. Doesn't make any difference. If somebody's standing over you, whip making you do it, or because you're doing it out of the own freedom of your heart, God's going to reward you for those things. Don't look past this. And I think Christians have greatly looked past this. And they've been shoddy in their jobs as wives, shoddy in their jobs as husbands and parents and children, and recompensated by putting money in the offering plate and teaching a Sunday school class. No. Paul didn't say anything about the offering plate here. He didn't say anything about serving within the church. He said, out there in your normal and usual roles of life, be exemplary. That's our duty as the people of God. That's the root and basis of our testimony. Come with me to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 41. Then Peter said unto him, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even unto all? And the Lord said, who then is a faithful and wise steward, whom his Lord shall make ruler over his household, to give them their portion in due season? Blessed is that man whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. I don't have time to expose this whole text and what's going on here, but the Lord is saying that our lives are a stewardship. And blessed is the man who does it well. So that when the Lord comes, he'll be found doing his job well. And to the greatest of his ability. The testimony of the believer starts with doing his common responsibilities properly. Salvation does not release us from the common obligations and responsibilities of life. And sometimes I think we think that. Oh, well, I'm going to be godly and serve the Lord and do all these kind of special things for Him, and He'll fill my checkbook. No, He won't. You fulfill all your common responsibilities because that's predominantly where you serve Him. And He'll see to it you're cared for. There's some of these old proverbs that I just like. They're not Bible, but the Lord helps those that help themselves. Who do their jobs with diligence. Let me take you to 1 Peter chapter 3. I think that's the sense of this verse that we're going to be reading, where it says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." Not as eye pleasers, but with singleness of heart, fearing the Lord. Okay? You make that connection there? I don't think I'm jumping a long ways to make that connection. Sanctify the Lord in your heart. Have Him in your heart. Be serving Him. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. And then it said, "Be ready always to give answer to every man that asketh you the reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear." That kind of man or woman or boy or girl is going to have a testimony, and folks are going to come and say, "What makes you different?" We are so on different, we keep trying to find ways to be different. You know, I don't smoke or drink or chew, and I don't go with girls who do. And that's just the way that we as preachers have a way of talking about the difference. Shame on us. The difference is a contented, godly, productive life that oozes the evidence of the Spirit of God. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. "If these things be in you and abound," said Christ, "ye shall never be barren or unfruitful in the work of the Lord." We keep having to bump people with our words because we can't bump them with our life. I'm not angry. You guys put up with so much from me. I appreciate it. One of these days, I'm going to get this down and know how to do it. Well, I'm trying now. Our gospel proclamation flows from the foundation of a sound, productive, obedient life. If we can't get this right, we don't have a platform for our message. We need to learn to do the essentials and do them well. Now, last Sunday morning, Bruce and Eldon gave me permission to go overtime. So, it's their fault. I want to finish with a story. Late last summer and early fall, Caleb was staying with us. And I'm looking for things to give him to do and stuff like that to keep him busy and things. And I put him on my computer with a flight simulator. Well, he just loved it. And you can go through and you can take all these lessons, you know, and you actually get, you know, virtual license. And he got his virtual pilot license. He got his virtual corporate license. This kid is a student. He really did well. And he learned how to navigate and how to communicate with the towers and all of that stuff through the computer. He was doing all that kind of stuff. And he was flying, you know, around the world, navigating and all that kind of stuff. And Charlotte thinks about the grandkids a lot more than I do. And she thought, you know, maybe a good Christmas gift for the kids when they come up this year is give them an airplane ride. So last Tuesday, we put the kids on an airplane. And Rob down here at Red Eagle Aviation took him up. And I mentioned his name because, boy, he sure did a good job. He brought him back safely. But he put Caleb, we told him that the reason we did this because the kids are doing this flight simulation. We thought they would enjoy having a real ride in an airplane. And he put Caleb in the left seat. And they went down there, and when the plane got up off the ground, Rob said to Caleb, put the nose up 15 degrees and turn 10 degrees left. Caleb flew that airplane for most of the trip. He would just say, go this way, and Caleb could do that. But Caleb's got one problem. He can't land it. You may have a lot of stuff that you can do, but if you can't do the essentials, all right, that's what Paul is talking about here. Do the essentials. Give your attention to being a wife. Give your attention to being a husband. Give your attention to being a parent. Give your attention to being a godly child. Give your attention to being a good employee. Give your attention to being a good boss. And if these things be in you and abound, you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the work of the Lord. Folks, you've got to learn how to land the plane. We've got to do the essentials, and we've got to do them well. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity we've had to go through just these few things about our lives and our walk with you, that we might learn to do the essentials well. Challenge us, Father, in these things. I pray for the men that are here today. Lord, teach us to love our wives, to treat them with dignity and respect, to encourage them. Lord, that their lives might be pleasant in these days. I pray for the wives that are here. Teach them to love and respect their husbands, to love and care for their children. Teach us as parents how to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Lord, challenge our children to be obedient and respectful of their parents and to walk honestly before you. I pray for all of us as employees that we would serve our employers with a genuineness and with an appreciation that there's somebody who is paying the bills and managing the accounts so that we can be paid for the work that we do. May we give our diligence to do that work well. And Lord, I pray for those who are in supervisory roles, that they'll be gentle and kind with their people, respectful of them and considerate about their needs. Grant, Father, that we might be the people you have called us to be. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.